Matthew chapter number 11. Though you're very familiar passage of Scripture, which is 28, 29, and 30. And then, Lord willing, if He leads, we'll be going to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in just a moment. We'll see what happens as we go through here. Are you there? Matthew 11, 28. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want to just talk just a little while tonight and preach a little while tonight on the title, the subject, Keeping It Easy. And let me give an introduction, and then we'll get to the main message here in just a few minutes and see what God has for us this evening. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. And Father, I've been greatly encouraged and blessed by your word this week. And Father, I'm thankful, Lord, that you meet with us, Lord, in our private time. And Lord, that you make our study, Father, special. Lord, you also meet with us in our church time. And Lord, I pray that you continue, Lord, to use our church. Father, I believe, Lord, we serve a great God, and Lord, that you love us and that you love this place. I believe, Lord, that we've also been, Father, under a little bit of attack, Lord, and the devil would like to see this place with problems and confusion and destroyed. And Lord, Father, may we stand strong, may we be faithful. I pray, God, that you would increase, Lord, our light, Father, in this area. And Lord, may you use us, Father, Lord, in that yoke that you like us to carry, and that burden that is light. May you use us, Father, in your service, Lord. And Lord, we'll thank you now, Father, for it. We pray and ask in your holy name. Amen. I want you to see tonight just kind of the same thought as I preached on Wednesday night this morning. Sometimes I'll get a theme in my head and it's hard to shake it loose. And I often sometimes wonder if I'm, you know, meeting all the needs of the people, and I don't want to always feel like I preach the same thing, and maybe I do, maybe I don't, I don't know, but this burden that people would find great peace in Jesus Christ, and that they'd find joy in Him. And it seems like we live in a world today where less and less people are finding joy in Jesus and Him alone, and yet they'll have a lot of trinkets and entertainment to kind of coast them along and bring them along, and I'm not sure where we're losing people at or where people turn away. We know that that's the signs of the end times and Christ is coming. Doesn't make it any easier, though. It doesn't make it any more enjoyable to see people becoming less and less plugged into the Lord. And I want to be faithful, by the way. I want to finish faithful. I want to finish my Christian race well and give the Lord all I can. And I'm not done. I've got a lot more energy in me. I've got a lot more desire in me to serve God. And not done yet. And I want to see, you know, you hear stories. People tell stories about, and I know I'm rambling here just a little bit. Just to let me ramble for a minute. That's my therapy. And, you know, you oftentimes hear preachers and you hear evangelists tell stories of how God uses them to see people's lives changed. And I want our church to have stories. I want your children to be stories. I want my children to be stories. I don't want it to be illustrations, but to be stories, testimonies. And so I want God to use us. And one way to do that is just getting plugged into Jesus. He's all we need. I want you to notice with me tonight this verse that you've probably read a jillion times in your Christian life. Is this thing on, Jonas? And you've probably read it a jillion times in your Christian life. You've heard it at different occasions, at funerals. And but I want you to notice with me tonight this thought, keeping it easy. Notice with me tonight, first of all, the invitation that Christ gives. It says in verse number 28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden." Here's the invitation that Jesus Christ is giving. He has just been rejected by his own. He has come to his own received him not, the Bible says. And so he turns now, and he makes an invitation. The children of Israel refused him because, well, you know, again, they wanted the king to come riding on a white horse and to free them from the Roman Empire and establish their kingdom again. So they weren't looking for a Messiah to save their souls. They're looking for a Messiah, a king to come and save their country and roll back the tide of the Roman Empire. Christ didn't fulfill that bill, didn't fit that description. And so they reject him as their king and as their Messiah. So he turns now and he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we find that Jesus Christ, the invitation is not given to the elite. It's not given to those that have no need of a physician. It's not given to those that have no need of saving, but it's given to those that labor and are heavy laden. The invitation is to those that are laboring in the cares of this life, the cares of the world. It's given to those that are heavy laden with burdens and maybe even the burdens of sin, and just they're laden and they're burdened down. I'm glad that Jesus Christ comes to the weary. He doesn't just come to those, he doesn't come for the self-righteous and the elite and the Pharisees. I was reminded today as I was thinking about this scripture and the message tonight, I was reminded of the 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 11, where it says, verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but be not deceived, neither are fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 then says, and such are some of you. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Now let me tell you something. Here we find that God describes to us the type of folks that are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That God's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But then he says that, and such were some of you. That means that Jesus Christ is on the corner. He's in the highways and the byways, and he's saying to the fornicators and the idolaters and the adulterers and the effeminate and the thieves and covetous, come on to me. Come on to me. He's giving them the invitation to come. He's not saying, you're too vile, you're too wicked, you're past saving. To have such some of you were the church, that are now in the church house serving God, he had to be looking at the fornicator and looking at the adulterer and looking at the woman at the well and looking at the woman taking adultery and the blind men and the leprosies and the lepers and saying, hey, I want you. You come here. You're heavy laden. You're laboring. Come here and I'll give you rest. The invitation is to all. And I want to remind us tonight as a church that when we go out and knock doors and pass out tracts and invite folks to church, we're not looking for those that have no need of a physician. We're looking for those that are laboring or heavy laden. And you're going to come across fornicators and idolaters and adulterers. And even it says, let me tell you something. It says even that those, that there's a lot of preaching going on today that once you become a sodomite, that you are doomed to hell. God says here in this verse, there are some that were effeminate and abused themselves with mankind. That God had redeemed. It takes the grace of God to do that, and it takes the act of God to do that, but no more an act of God to save you from your sin. So God can reach down to a sodomite and say, let me tell you something, if you'll just come to me and accept me, I won't let you stay a sodomite. I'll clean you up and I'll put you in the house of God and I'll change your life. Now this Christianity that wants to say, well, God saves sodomites and lets them stay sodomites, that's blasphemy. God doesn't, if you want to get born again, you have to leave your adultery. You're going to have to leave being a, you can't repeat a prayer and say, I'm going to stay a sodomite. You have to leave that. But for there to be such a crowd in the house of God that used to be, that means that Jesus Christ was inviting all those. The people that we kind of sometimes, if we're not careful, that guy's got too many tattoos and he looks like his face fell on a tackle box. I was reading an article the other day. You know, it just drives me crazy when you see those folks with their ear gauged. Now I see they're having their entire inner ear cut out. So just one little, that's why I thought, why? I'll tell you why, because they're burdened and heavy laden. They're trying to find just something stupid to find a little bit of peace. So notice with me tonight the invitation. There's a generation that we are looking at tonight that are trying to find rest, trying to find peace. Now, to you and I that know the truth, is frustrating because we think, can folks get any dumber? I can't believe the dumb things that come out of our capital. that people, like, this is a solution. You know, we're going to spend $93 trillion to save the whales and build new places that will change our world, you know. I don't understand this stupidity. It comes out of our capital, of our nation. But here's some folks trying in their confusion to find rest. There's a generation that's heavy laden with burdens, the burdens of failure, the burdens of never being enough, burdens of falling short, the burdens of sin and wickedness, the burdens of their flesh. And the offer is, we find, and I will give you rest. Now, we find that Christ says, listen, my whole thing is I want to come to the sick and make them whole. I want to come to the hurting and heal them. I want to come to the labor and I want to give them rest. There is rest in Jesus. Only Christ can give the weary sinner rest. You know, I'm not against doing different things in the church to get people to come and promote different things, but programs don't give people rest. Jesus Christ gives people rest. I don't understand. Really, I know that our times have changed and I know that people are different in some cases and our world has gotten weird, but I don't understand. There used to be a day and age when a priest or a person could come to church as a lost sinner and hear preaching and get saved and quit drinking. Now we've got to have this 15-step program to get folks out of drinking. There used to be a day and age when people come to church and get saved and get right with God and quit fornicating. Now we've got to, and they'd stay married. And now we've got to have this group and that group and this support group and that support group. Let me tell you something. Church is a support group. And if you can't find support here as a person, no matter what you're in, then we're doing something wrong. Because Jesus Christ said, if you come to me, I'll give you rest. And I think that sometimes we are feeding people a bunch of junk and shallow preaching and shallow teaching and a bunch of phooey and nonsense. They're not finding any rest. So now we've got to have these small group cells and this group over here and this program and that program. What folks need to find rest is in Jesus Christ. And I want to stick to the... let me tell you something. I'm telling you, the old way is not very popular anymore. Even among our own camp. Among our own camp, folks are changing and going and leaving the Bible and going to psychology kind of preaching kind of stuff. And I believe that Jesus Christ and Him alone is enough for anybody to find rest. Look, the condition we find, not only do we find the invitation, we find the offer. I'll give you rest. There is rest in salvation. And there is rest. Let me tell you something. Boy, I was glad the day I got saved. And I was glad the day that I finally, after years of struggling, even as a pastor, years of struggling, I was glad for the day that I nailed it down that Jesus Christ saved sinners. I don't have to be good enough. I don't have to earn it. I can simply have to just trust and believe, and He saves those that come to Him. Thank God for that. What a day to find some great peace and some rest when I realize I don't got to be from the right side of tracks. I don't have to say exactly the right kind of prayer or cry 10,000 tears or roll across a broken glass and crawl on needles and do something special for Christ to notice me. He noticed me on Calvary. Amen. When I received Christ and trusted Christ as my Savior, He saved me. Sometimes you look back as a young boy and you think, because I didn't write the date down. I don't have the time that I got born again. And could Christ really save a young boy and save me forever? Or am I going to wake up one day and find myself in hell? But I remind the scriptures that we have to come to Christ as a childlike faith. And years ago, as an 11 or 12 year old boy, all I had was a childlike faith. And I might not have understood all the words or all the doctrine of salvation and of sin, but I understood enough to know that if I died, I'd go to hell without Christ. And that day, as a young boy, 11 or 12 years old, I got on my knees in that church library and said, Lord, please save me. I have trust in You. And if Christ can't save me then, He can't save me another time. What more do I have to do according to Scripture? So, boy, years and years I wrestled with that. Did I mean it? Was it good enough? Did I pray enough? And you hear all this preaching about if you they don't know the date, don't know the time, you know, maybe you're not saved. And boy, I've struggled with some areas. And finally, what great peace in Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. I put in my word what it takes to be saved. Did you do that or not? Did you put your faith in me? I like Meredith's testimony. Some of you probably wouldn't think she's saved. She didn't even pray. She didn't even pray. She didn't say any sinner's prayer. All she said was, I believe. Went to bed. And I said, I don't think she's saved. Tell me what the Ethiopian eunuch prayed then. Well, all he said was, I believe, and they went and baptized him. You tell me where anybody prayed in the Bible and got born again. Hey, where's Peter's conversion? Prayer did Paul pray? He just said, who art thou, Lord? We get stuck on something. And I'm not saying I'm proud to be a Baptist, but this whole thing in the sinner's prayer, repeat after me, has got sometimes out of hand. And folks don't think, boy, if you didn't repeat after me somewhere, you must not really got it. There's something. I'm worried about folks being saved that repeated after me. I don't have anybody repeat after me. I say, well, citizen, if you want to get born again, you pray yourself. Well, I don't know what to say. You don't have to know what to say. Just ask Christ to save you. He'll do it. Now, so I'm not sure I got in that rabbit trail. This is the fact that there's rest in salvation. Amen. There's rest in God's will. And I remember running from God. I remember running from God, no rest. No rest. I remember trying what the world has to offer, trying to make the money and making a good money, working 80 and 90 and 100 hours a week at a job. And, you know, I'm going to break open this heritage that I have and break out of the poor heritage. I'm going to become a person that's rich in my family and it never seemed to fail that whenever you get a little bit ahead, you get knocked back 13 steps, you know, and my wife got a promotion at her job and got a raise. And I'm like, hey, all right, we're going to get a little ahead now. We haven't got groceries yesterday. Groceries are more expensive lately. Yeah. It's like, man, I told Mrs. Mass last night, listen, we are never going to get ahead. We're never going to have, you know, where we live on Easy Street, you know. And that's okay. That's okay, because one day in heaven I'll live on Easy Street. Amen. And what I'm saying is this, but boy, when you're in God's will, you know it. Boy, there is great rest, knowing at the end of the day, I'm in God's will. There's great rest in God's heaven. I'll tell you something, knowing that one day, you know, if I was an atheist and believed in evolution, all that junk, I would be a schizophrenic. I'd be bipolar. I'd have PTSD. I'd have every phobia and fear that there is if all they have is this world. It's no wonder the Democrats are crazy. They think all they have is this world. Well, I'm glad that no matter how bad things get, that I can lay my head down on my pillow at night and realize, this is not my home. I'm just passing through. Heaven's my home. And there aren't no Democrats in heaven. So you got to get born again. So there ain't no Democrats in heaven. And I heard a joke. I'm sure I can't repeat it or not say it right. But this little boy had a box of puppies, and he was going to sell them for sale. And this preacher came by, and he said, well, how much are they? And he said, you wouldn't like these puppies. And he said, well, why not? He said, because these puppies are Democrats. And so he asked him, talked to him, and of course the price was too much. So later he came back and the price got lowered. And he goes, well, how the price got lowered? He goes, well, they're Republicans. And he goes, well, what changed? He goes, well, their eyes are open now. And so anyway, it was a lot funny when I heard it, but but the Bible says that the Lord's promise is that if you come to him, he'll give you rest. But now listen, so I noticed then number three is the condition. He said this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We find that he says, here's a condition, I'll give you rest, but you'll take my yoke upon you. To find rest, you must submit yourself to the person and will of Christ. A yoke, of course, you all know what a yoke is. I'm not good at telling yokes, and so I'll just explain to you this yoke. Yeah. Anyway, you know what a yoke is. You know, hooking up a yoke to an oxen, and they plow or pull wagons. We lived in Waukon. There was a farmer there that had draft horses, and so he taught Joshua how to use draft horses and plow with them. And so he showed him how to put the yoke on the horses and all that nice stuff. And, you know, so a yoke is made for labor. But when the yoke gets placed on that animal now is in submission to the master. And so when the Lord said this, he said, listen, I'll give you rest, but take my yoke upon you. He said, listen, you've got to come to a place, if you want to find rest, where you've got to come to me and submit to me, to my person and to my will. To find rest, he says, you must take my burden upon you. He says, so my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so we find here to find rest, you must not only submit to the person will of God, but you must, to find rest, you must enter into the service of God. There's rest and submission. Why do you do what you do? Because God told me. You know, sometimes you live a certain way and have certain standards and convictions, and church is a priority and so on is a priority. And folks are like, why do you do all that? Because I'm in a yoke. I don't have control of the lines. I'm in a yoke. And I'm just trying to be submissive, and I'm not very good at it, but I'm trying to be submissive to the will and person of Jesus Christ. I'm not the guy with the lines and pulling the lines and all. I'm not that guy. I'm just the guy in the yoke. And I'm supposed to put on his burden. His burden is light. So the yoke of bondage of the world is bitter and cruel. The yoke of the sin is bitter and cruel. But the yoke of Jesus Christ is easy and his burden is light. And Christ said this, if you just learn of me, you'll learn that I'm meek, that I'm gentle and long-suffering. Well, you know, as I get a little older, and they say you get softer as you get older. I don't want to get too soft. But, you know, I think there has to be a balance when you start preaching about God's holiness, but also that God, Christ is meek and lowly. He said, listen, when you come to me, you're going to find that I'm meek, I'm a gentleman. I'm gentle, I'm long-suffering. Now, let me tell you something. I've been here almost 12 years, and I've dealt with a lot of you folks. I've dealt with myself. It is no strange thing that God is long-suffering. If it wasn't, this place would be tonight, there's a bunch of burn spots in the pews where lightning struck, right? Now, don't act pious on me. Like, no, not me. Your mom will explain it to you in a little bit. if I'm preaching over your head, I got to get a little lower then, because I don't want to preach over anybody's head. It means that the Lord would have struck us with lightning if he wasn't long-suffering. It's like a cartoon. Remember a cartoon? In a cartoon, they got struck with lightning, all there is a burn spot. You're not even blonde, Catherine. Yeah. Wasn't very funny, was it? No, okay, I'll try a different one. Jesus Christ is lowly in heart. And you know, in Philippians, he became a servant for our sakes, humbled himself for our sakes. God said, listen, you'll find rest unto your souls. There is rest, listen, tell you something, and I'll close with this, and I won't even get, I'll just close with the introduction. There is rest knowing that you are submitted to Jesus Christ. There's rest knowing that. That I'm just submitted to him. You know, those few years when I was running from God, not of God's will, I'd come home and find no rest. Get paid a big check at the end of the week, no rest. Go out with the guys, do what the guys do, no rest. But boy, when you know you're submitted to God. You know the folks the folks that are happiest in the house of God? Those that just are submitted to God's will. There is rest knowing that you are serving the King. There's rest on there. Hey, I'm in the yoke and I'm carrying his. He placed me in his yoke. What a great honor to be in his yoke and carrying his burden. Tonight, if Christ came in here and said, listen, will you carry my briefcase for me? Not one of us would say, no. It'll be like, I'd be glad to. You know, when the boys were younger, we'd have preachers come by and visit the church, and the boys would always be wanting to carry their suitcase or carry their bag for them. And I liked it when my boys got to meet preachers and love preachers. I always wanted them to love and honor preachers. And I think they're special people. Not special more than you are, but it's special in a different way. And so I wanted my boys to honor them. But what a great honor, not just to carry a preacher's bag, but to carry the Lord's burden. We look at it sometimes the wrong way, like, oh man, really me? But what a great honor it is to carry the Lord's burden. And by the way, may I remind us tonight that the Lord said, it's easy. It's easy. Christ never gives you a burden that you cannot handle or that you cannot carry. And when the devil gives you a burden, it's always overwhelming. No matter how tired you may get and how worn out you may get serving God, it's a whole lot easier than serving the world and sin. And so tonight, I might even get to the part about keeping it easy. I just think it's just a blessing to know that Jesus Christ invited folks like you and me. And he said, if you come to me, I'll give you rest. He said this, I want to put you in my yoke. You know, can I be a little transparent? And I want to do as much as I can for Christ. That includes this church, by the way. Not looking to go anywhere. Some folks, there's been a few hints here and there about if you get your degree in college, you can go somewhere else. No, I'm not going to go anywhere else. And if you put me with this long, you put me with when I'm a little more educated then as well. But, I love to teach at college. I love to go up there once a week and teach. And just do more for Christ. It's an honor to be in His service. And to be part of the service, to be in His yoke and to carry His burden for Him. And you'll find that God's burden, it's not about saving the whales, keeping the trees green. This is all going to pass away one day anyway. The Lord's burden is about seeing people saved and growing in faith. And tonight, don't ever lose it. Listen, I know some of you folks have been here a long time. I know that sometimes we get a little wore out, a little bit sideways, a little bit disgruntled with things that happen, and our expectations are not always met. But don't ever get worn out about carrying, being in His yoke and carrying His burden. Never lose the thrill of seeing people saved. Now, it ain't like the 70s and the 60s. When you can just mention that the Lord's coming, if 10 folks get saved. You invite a family to church and all of a sudden they all come and get born again. The days aren't like that, but the Lord's not dead. And there's still folks that are laboring and heavy laden that He's still inviting. Amen. Let's stand. We'll go down and have a meal together.